Hello and welcome to our I Am the Divine gathering. Today for a timestamp is Thursday, April 16th. I was going to say the wrong month. I'm glad I looked at my phone. Anybody else having where you can't remember what day it is? I'm not talking about like you get up in the morning and you're like, oh, what day is today? What? And then that whole day, you know what day it is. I'm talking about the type of energy where you don't know what day you're in all day long. And you have to either keep reminding yourself or keep asking yourself or keep looking at your date marker to see. That's the energy that we're in. It's like the in-between worlds type of energy that we are navigating right now. And it's really important for us to have this awareness, this understanding. Oh, I gotta just turn my phone off. Hold on one second, please. Somebody is having a hard time accessing the link for tonight's class. Hold on one second, and I probably won't be able to send it to them because we're already online. Sorry about that, guys. Okay, now I'm going to shut my phone off. So it's the kind of energy that we are experiencing that is the energy of in-between worlds, right? Where we are shedding out the 3D reality that we were born into, which is anchored into our field. Okay, it's the reality that is most comfortable to us because we were born into it. And we are now stepping into a new higher reality that is, I'm trying to think of boundless, right? It's a boundless energy that we're stepping into, which means that everything and anything can be created, which is why the work that we've done all this time, so many years, is focusing us on staying in the highest timeline. Really paying attention to the thoughts that we're thinking and what we're emoting, because the way that the reality works is all focused attention has energy. Okay. So if I'm focusing my attention on something that didn't go right for me and I'm thinking about it all day, and the chances are on a subconscious, unconscious level, I'm calling up every single timeline of my past where I had the same or similar energy, I'm literally grouping that in. The focus unconsciously, because now the human is unconscious, right, in its creation, unconsciously focusing on this thing that did not go right, or something that, annoys you, or something somebody did cuts you off in traffic, or the person at the checkout at the grocery store, whatever it is. And now subconsciously, on a subconscious, unconscious level, the mind goes to every other timeline that ever had that experience, right? No matter how great or how small. And the problem with that is that the way that the energy builds in our field, because technically, everything that is beyond right here on us, right? Everything that I could see, right? Even though I'm in this house is my field. Everything that is beyond my skin, my face, my eyes, everything that is beyond me, everything is created through electrons, protons, neutrons, right? These electrons are so specific, so focused, that they activate through what is being emoted, what is being felt, what is being thought, what is being intended, what is being expected. And they are building as if they're putting together, some kind of a intricate puzzle, right? Like building blocks or Legos, right? And they're building the reality that our point of reference that we are emoting, we're thinking, we're intending, we're expecting is offering, because it doesn't, the universe doesn't know words. We've talked about that so many times. And so that energy then goes to work like a little builder bee, right? And starts putting together all of the building blocks of what it is assessing from our field that we might want, and it starts to build that into the reality. And this is when we'll take something, we've all done this. We meet the same person over and over again, right? Whether it's a relationship or a friend situationship or anything else. And we meet the same person over and over again. And we're like, why do I still meet this person? Why am I still, why are these people still coming into my field, right? And we, I mean, if we say a relationship, it'd probably be easier for most people to understand, but it's the same person over and over again because we haven't shifted anything. So the universe, so the energy, so the field, the holographic field, the simulator, whatever you want to call it, doesn't matter, thinks that we still want that same thing because we have not cleared any of it from our field from the past. And every time we don't let go of something that happened, that either, somebody wronged us in some way, or, our parents didn't stand up for us when we were little, or we, whatever the case is, right? Friends hurt our feelings, a relationship hurt our feelings, right? If we're not letting go of it and we're not going back to old work, the days of Ho'oponopono, okay, and offering forgiveness and love and seeing that person with grace through the eyes of love, that we are them, they are us, and healing that aspect, then we're just tracking it through the mud, keeping building it and building it and building it. And then the nature of the field is that whatever we're creating is getting more. It's getting worse. It's more intensifying. Okay, to the point where eventually something will happen that will either stop us, shut us down, put us in a timeout, and then we will have the time that we need to think about it, especially if we're not giving ourselves the time to think about it. Okay, these energies right now are superpower energies, right? Super powered up. That's what these energies are. They are super powered up. You focus a thought on something long enough, and trust me when I tell you, it is going to manifest. Okay. The other day, Liz from the community, I don't think she's going to be coming on because she's traveling. I think she's in Italy. I'm not 100% sure, but I hope she's having a great time wherever she is. She sent me pictures and she's like, here's pictures for you to paint. You can use these, for reference photos, whatever. And one of the pictures that she happened to send me was these pictures of this beautiful white peacock. Has anybody been to my page lately, the Maria DC page? Has anybody seen the white peacock that was in my backyard? Because I thought that peacock was absolutely stunning. And I was like, I have two, three blue, well, two blue ones and a peahen, because the males are called peacocks. I wonder why. And the female is called a peahen. Okay, so I have a peahen and two peacocks. And so they're all of the bluish nature of the traditional peacock. And I thought that that white peahen, peacock, whatever it is, was so beautiful. I was like, wow, that's really beautiful. But I did not think that I had it in my field. I wasn't even thinking about painting it, to be honest with you, because I'm trying to work through other projects that I have. And yesterday, unassumingly, I went out to give my guys treats and give the hens treats and collect the eggs and say hi to the quails, because we have quails too. And I walk out the door and the male peacocks start screaming. And when they scream, it sounds like hello, hello, hello. They're really, really loud, like so loud, annoying, obnoxiously loud. And all of a sudden I hear this sound that goes, hey. Just like that, not a lie. And I turned because I thought like a bear is coming out of the woods at me, right? It was this deep guttural sound. And I turn and I look and I thought to myself, the sun is really coming down. There's a glare. I must be imagining this, because if I didn't know any better, I'd think that that was a white peacock sitting on the dirt mound. That dirt mound we keep there for the coops so that we could put fresh dirt in there on occasion, because the rain sometimes washes it out. So I was like, oh, hello. And it turned and it looked at me, and I thought to myself, oh, that's real. I'm going in to get my phone because Joe is not going to believe this, right? And this whole thing started like months ago when he said to me he was going to close in this one axe throwing cage that he had, that they never used it for axe throwing. It's been sitting there. He wanted to sell it. He's like, I think I'm going to close it in. There's this thing where you can go and round up these wild peacocks, which is what the white one is, but there's really none up this way. They're usually down towards like Fort Lauderdale area. And so he ended up selling the cage. So that never happened. But I guess it's still in the field. And then Liz showed me those pictures and then reactivated. And that was the night before. And literally the next day, I manifested that white wild peacock, right? The field is very potent and it's very active, and we really have to be focused away from the negative words, negative thinking, negative words, right? When I am thinking something negative, and it could be something really, really tiny, like something so ridiculously silly, thinking something negative, and I feel my whole energy field go right, it like collapses right in. And it doesn't feel good, and it's very palpable. And then I realize that that's happened, and I'm like, okay, what is it that I'm doing here? Let me go, let me do this assessment. What am I tapped into? Feels like a self-worth issue. Okay, self-worth feels like this. Feels like, oh, value. I'm not valuing myself. I'm not valuing myself. I'm expecting somebody else outside of me to value me. Well, this is just one example I'm using, right? And so when I see that, then I'm like, no. Okay, I need to do something right now to value myself, to place value on myself, and look at what I am not creating. What am I not creating? What am I creating in the place of something that's higher aligned? And the minute I do that, the minute I do that, it's like the universe sends signs, right? Sends signs to me that you're on the right path. Because then somebody that hasn't been a part of the community in a long time decided to all of a sudden rejoin, and suddenly there was money coming in. Money coming in is always a sign that you have aligned in a higher way, right? Because money is a very high vibrational tool that we have. So the money comes in, then there was another sign. I forget what that was. It was something I was waiting for, was a notification or something like that that came through. And then I was laughing because Joe doesn't usually do this, but out of the blue, he came home like literally 15 minutes later. I was expecting him back because he went to Mario's for the day. They had dinner together and then he was coming back and then staying over that night because the next morning he had to leave to go back to work. And he comes in and I'm like, "Hey, how'd your day go?" He was like, "It was great. I bought Italian ices for us." And I was like, "You did?" And he was like, "Yeah, I got your lemon. Is that okay?" And I'm like, "Yeah." And I thought to myself, "Wow, the universe is now bringing me a treat." Right? I was like, "Thank you, Joe. You got the message from the universe that I was deserving of some kind of treat, right? Something yummy." That's how the universe works, right? So it's always going to come back to you immediately. It boomerangs back immediately when we autocorrect our field. Immediately it comes back. This goes hand in hand with things that we perceive that we've done wrong. Okay? We go out, we have a transaction that we're making, and we go through the transaction and then, the transaction is done. We get home and then we're like, "Why did I do that? I spent too much money. I shouldn't." It happens to me with paint sometimes, right? Or something that I wanted, and then I look at it and I'm like, "Oh, I really shouldn't have bought that," or "Why did I buy that?" Whatever, right? And the universe goes, "Oh, okay. Well, let's take something else away from you then, because you've already got that. So since you don't think you deserve that, we're gonna just take this instead," right? Because now the energy in the field has to match that discordant energy. Is this making sense? Please. Okay. So it's already in the past. It already happened. You already transacted it, right? I transacted it. Has a higher purpose. Let me just tell you something. Let me just tell you something. If I buy an art supply and the next day I get that art supply and I look at it and I'm like, "Oh, why did I spend the money on that?" Right? The minute I do that, I'm like, "Oh, love you," right? Change it. Why? Because the universe no longer recognizes this as the problem. It no longer recognizes what I bought as the problem, but it's recognizing there's a vibrational discordance and it wants to give me something that matches that vibrational discordance. So, could be like when I bought my car. If I was discordant about something at the dealership with the car, did they talk me into an extra warranty? Yeah, they did. But you know something? I could afford it and it worked out in my favor. And now there's things I don't have to worry about. So I could drive in harmony. And as I'm in my car, loving the exchange that I've had. My car is in harmony. My car is higher elevated in the scheme of things. So I'm not out there on the road attracting an accident I really don't want. Does that make sense? But if I'm discordant about something with my car, the universe has to apply that discordant energy to something. It's going to match that magnitude of whatever it is, right? If it's my little art supply or if it's my big car, it's going to match that volume of energy, energy for energy. It's going to give you something it thinks you want. Right? And it's the same thing with relationships. So when we keep attracting the same person over and over and over again, and they take advantage of us or they don't honor something, or they're very selfish and they just want to take and they don't give back. That's not an issue with them. That's an issue here internally within us. Because what we're doing is we're telling the universe to keep sending that same person until we finally get the message that we have to change how we perceive ourselves. Okay? It's never about what is outside of us. The reality, once the thought happens, the reality is now here. It's right here. It's right here, right? It's not out there. It's not outside the window. It's not out anywhere. It's right here once we have that thought. So now we have to really participate in the highest way because otherwise we're creating discordant energy. And why that's important right now is because tomorrow we have a new moon in Aries, and Aries is fire. It's fast, right? It wants to go fast. You know how fire is. If you have dry forest, that forest is going to be taken over and consumed by fire, right? If there's a fire, because the fire is fast and furious. It's not asking the forest, is it okay if I burn you down? Is it okay if I demolish all the trees? Aries doesn't care. Aries is about the self. It's me, my, mine. It's I, all about me. Okay. So this week, tomorrow, we have seven planets in the sign of Aries. And I know so many people right now that are feeling super heavy energy, feeling like they don't know what's going on. There's tension in the body, there's anxiety in the body. They feel like they have to do something, go someplace, be something, repair something, but there's nothing, right? Because it's not outside of us, it's inside of us. It's the energy inside. All right. So if you do feel that way, or you know somebody that feels that way, the best thing to do would be to ground, however you can do that, whether it's breath work or getting outside and doing some nature walking or something like that, right? Lots and lots of fire energy right now, big fiery energy. And that tense feeling in the body is probably going to last another 2 to 3 weeks because it comes in 2 to 3 weeks before and it goes out 2 to 3 weeks after. Okay. And so this is that kind of energy that, like, I feel something, I don't know what I feel. Do not act on it. Sit down, be quiet, tune in, breathe. And the best part is to get a journal and sit down and start writing, right? Writing what are you feeling? And then look at the notes. Look at the notes. What is it, the feeling tapping? Is it tapping self-worth, self-esteem, value, lack of appreciation? Like, what is it tapping into? What is the energy about? If it's with a somebody, you'll be able to determine what this is bringing to the table for you. Okay. So this energy is going to hit each one of us someplace different, or the same, depending on where these planets land in your chart. You're going to be able to figure it out. It's a no-brainer because the intensity of what is taking place, if you, let's say, like me, I have Aries in my fourth house, right? Fourth house of home. And it's my moon. So it's where my emotions sit. Okay. And so I have Aries. I was born with Aries in my fourth house, in my moon. If you don't know and you want to know, I'd be happy to do a session with you. You can bring me your birth date, the time you were born and the place you were born, and I will look at your chart. I can even tell you South Node, North Node, what you're leaving behind, what you're working on. I can't go deep into astrology because I'm not an astrologer, but I could point to the things that are very, very important at this moment. So for me, being that it's in my house, 2, 3 days ago, I woke up to chainsaws. And I realized it's the neighbor next door, and they live in a really big motor coach. They don't use the house. I'm not sure why, but they don't use the house. They live in the motor coach. And they're They're snowbirds. They go up north for the summertime. And so I didn't really think too much of it because he's been doing a little here and there, taking the chainsaw, cutting down a couple of trees, cutting down some branches and stuff. But then yesterday, all of a sudden, this truck pulls up and it's this tree service, and the chainsaws are going all day long. You know how grating that is on your nerves, right? The chainsaws are going all day long, and it's three guys, it's not one guy, three guys out there, and they're cutting down almost every tree in the front yard, which is devastating to me because Loretta could tell you she's been here. It's like a little, when I look out the kitchen window just past the pole barn that we have here out to this guy's property, he's got the Spanish moss hanging, and it's like it looks like fairyland out there. It's just so beautiful. And so they cut down all of those trees. So for 2 days I had to listen to that. So talk about fiery energy. Chainsaws, right? Massive destruction, right? In my home environment, even though it's not my home, I'm affected at my home. So if you sit with this, you'll eventually figure out what is taking place, what sector for you it might be. But the noise and the loss of the trees for me was devastating, you know. But because I know how the universe works, and I do not want to send my little electron buddies into that state of chaos, right, which could easily be done, I decided that I was going to just be at peace. It's his property. He could do what he wants with it. I'm not going to be upset, even though, you know, I'm sad that the trees are not going to be around anymore to be as magical and sustainable as they were. But this is the nature of what is taking place, right? So it's my job to stay out of that storyline because that storyline next door is happening for my benefit. It's happening so I can elevate to my next level, right? Because at some point in my higher ascended self, in my higher realm, there's going to be some kind of magical fairyland coming back to me, right? But how do I get there? I have to get there by holding that highest timeline. And sometimes it can be challenging and it can be very distracting if we have people in our life that are, you know, pulling us away from where our work really is. Okay. Because that is the opinions and ideas and et cetera of other people. Okay. Which we have to learn to stay out of. Because it's not our business to be in any of that. Our business is to hold the highest timeline. Now, all of this is going to start speeding up because that's the nature of this energy. You know, when these seven planets are done co-joining and bringing us the highest experience, which we won't see again for 5,000 years. And I don't know about you, but I don't think I'm going to be here in 5,000 years. Although maybe I will, but I don't know. I'm shooting for 144 years right now, so I'll take that if I can get that. But this is, you know, big energy, big feels that are coming in. It's very, very important energy, really important energy. I cannot stress that enough. And it needs our attention. The moon landing does not need our attention, the war does not need our attention. We need our attention because all of that noise, and that noise can only be diminished and quieted here within when we point within ourselves. Okay. So it's really important to stay on point for ourselves and not get distracted by anything out in the outer reality. Very important. Okay. So we're going to start to notice that there are going to be some new stuff taking hold in our lives in different capacities, maybe some new relationships, maybe new collaborations coming in with, you know, people that are either important for your advancement for some reason, or maybe just friendships that are going to make life feel pleasant in some way, shape, or form. Because there are certain lineups within the planets, healing is a priority. So wherever we have not healed ourselves, and that could be on a very physical level, that is going to become a priority. We need to make sure that we're healing, especially if it's something that's emotional, that we have been in resistance to letting go, right? Because the energy wants us to take our power back, stand in that power. And so wherever that is for you, you're going to feel it. You're gonna notice it, because you're not gonna be able to not notice it, because it's gonna be so palpable. That's the only way I can describe it. Okay. So these changes that we're undergoing, Aries in particular, we're gonna put the other planets on the side, but this moon in Aries that we're having tomorrow night is the kickoff for where can we make our lives better? Where can we place our attention on ourselves? How can we attain deeper inner guidance? Again, you can't have inner guidance if you're listening to the outer reality, right? And now it's noisier than ever. I don't know about you guys, but I go on to Instagram. And it's like you cannot not see somebody popping up with something astrology or something healing related, or all kinds of different modalities, right? It's out there, and it's our job to choose whatever it is that we're wanting to choose, right? I'm not saying not to choose any of that. I'm saying choose what your soul is feeling called to. Because Aries says, we love all of that, but not all of that fits in our world, right? We love all of that, but that fits in our world. So we're going to take that in, and we're going to really make use of that, and we're going to deepen to that. Okay. And it can feel like all of a sudden, it's like this, the clients that are coming back into the community now after being away, a couple of them have done that, and they come back and they're like, oh, I really need this guidance. And I'm like, oh, thank you. Thank you so much. It's humbling. As opposed to what guidance? Whatever is out there, but the soul is knowing that something else is not working. Does that make sense? And then we have to, if we're the one offering the healing, we need to be in our truth, because again, Aries does not want us, in the masses, right? Aries wants us in our truth, whatever that is for us. If the truth is that, we see the world in a different way and want to bring that through in a different way. Like this one, I forget what his page is. It's very it's cute and quirky, and he uses roller skates, and sometimes he dresses up in a big sun costume. I cannot remember the name of his page. If you know it, you can either unmute and let me know. But if I find it again, I'll share it in the next email I send out. But I thought to myself, he's saying the same thing that like I'm saying, or anybody else is saying, that's seeing things from a higher perspective, right? He's just doing it in a different way. He's going to be attracting a different audience that's really going to be in tune to seeing him dress up as the sun, to seeing him roller skating around. I'm thinking he's using a what are those things? You put them up in the air. What the heck is they called? And he's taking pictures from, from a higher perspective, right?
Drone.
A drone. Thank you. Yeah. from a higher perspective of himself and whatever else is around him. And that is perfect for him because that is his nature. But if he was out there trying to maybe, emulate somebody else or me or anybody else's work, it might not work for him because it's not authentically who he is. He's authentic to those roller skates and the different costumes he dresses up in. It's really kind of funny. I've seen him a couple of times. And so I mean, this is the nature because of Aries wanting us. I have to go let Bella in. So you're going to come to the door with me so I don't have to stop talking. So this is the nature of what we are expected to do now, right? The universe is wanting us to be all in when it comes to serving the self. And it's not about trying to fit in anymore. And it's not about wanting somebody to like you because Aries doesn't care about anybody else, and they're very much like, how is this helping me? How is this serving me? What is the purpose here? Or it's like that, what's in it for me, right? So this is really important for us to have this awareness, because it's about the self now. It's not about anybody else, right? So this is where we want to choose the better. What is better? What is higher aligned? And so if we've been choosing mediocre, get rid of the mediocre. Start looking for what is better, right? I was taking painting lessons with this artist at the art gallery. Loretta and I were talking about this the other night. It's a half an hour from here. I just wasn't working. I could have kept going because I wanted community, I wanted friendships, whatever else, right? But it was not working. And I was like, this is not doing anything for me. I'm not really getting anything out of this. So I stopped going. And then when I wasn't looking, something better dropped in my lap, right? Something phenomenal dropped in my lap. Out of the sky opened up and brought this, right? Which I will talk about another time. But if I was out there and I was looking, it had to be this way or that way, this would not have happened because I would not have been in the vibrational alignment, maybe to receive, right? So we have to look at it from that perspective. Is like, am I pushing against the grain or am I allowing myself to be a receiver? And is it, and in that receiving, can I surrender to what is? As opposed to thinking it has to be this way or it has to be that way. What does my soul want? What is good for me? What is working for me right now, right? And so Aries is not the people pleaser sign, and it doesn't want us to be a people pleaser either, right? It's like no guts, no glory. That's the sign, right? It is. Let's go out. Let's just do it. We're going to do it because for me, it's going to feel good. I'm not sacrificing myself to go along with the masses because I know that's not going to feel good. That's Aries, okay? It wants you to be who you are at your very core. It's very primal energy. And this is the energy that we're going to be playing in for the next couple of years, okay? So listening to the inner voice for Aries is very critical, very important. Moving away from what does not feel good and moving to something that does feel good. What's interesting is the other day I was in the, I don't even know what I was doing, but I was looking for something on YouTube. I was trying to send a video to somebody that I thought might help them better understand what we had just talked about in a session. And so I tune in and there's an artist on there who is very, very, very successful artist, runs an art community, the whole nine yards. And she's talking to a woman who is a New York Times best-selling author and has, I don't know, probably 15 novels. They're the romance novel kind, right? Not historical, but like, today's romance novel stuff. Hello, Bella. And so they're on there having this conversation, and the writer is saying, well, I just joined your art community because I've been a writer for the last maybe 20 years of my life, and I'm a number one best-selling author, and now, something is really speaking to me about art, and I really want to do art, and it's really connecting with me. It's hitting with me in a big, big way, and I just feel like with my writing, and like she's saying this on a YouTube video, I feel like I've been there and I've done that. Like, I just at a soul level need something so much more for myself. Because think about it, the writing, even though it's accolades, is for everybody else out there, right? And it was interesting because the artist then said, well, I'm in the process of redoing the whole course. It'll be completed by June. And when I'm done with this revamp that is almost complete, I really want to take a break. I want to go to Greece and I want to write a book. I want to write the rest of my story because I've already written the first half of my story, how I got here. And now I'd like to write the second half of the story. And I don't know, I might want to write other books. I feel like I've been there and done that with art. And I thought to myself, wow, that's so profound, right? Because you have these two people very prolific in what they do, and both of them are feeling the need, the call at a deep level to change something. And the question was asked to the writer and said, well, what is it about art that you're feeling so called to? And she said, I think it's the idea that there's immediate gratification from doing art. Because, in other words, I can paint a painting, I can post it to my Instagram, Facebook, social media pages, and I get an instant understanding of whether or not it's been received by the public. But if I write a book, I don't get that same immediate sense because it takes sometimes a year for me to know where it landed with everybody. And I thought, that's so interesting. Don't you think that's interesting? Because sometimes I'll be honest with you, some and this is what's hitting me and what's been hitting me for a while. Sometimes I feel like, some people really, really value the work that I bring to the table, the work that's offered here, and there's other people that don't see any value in it at all. And it's really interesting to have such vast perspectives in your work, right? In what you're bringing to the table and what you're offering. And so I totally resonated with what they were saying because I was like, yeah, because we put the best of the best out there, but for her as a writer, her audience is going to be the audience that responds to her writing style. And now she's going to have to find a new audience that's going to respond to her painting style. And it might not be the same audience that likes her as a writer, right? And this is very profound because today I posted a painting that I did on my Instagram that was abstract realism. I have never painted abstract before. I probably was driving Loretta crazy with it. I could not paint the flowers for shit. Sorry, but I couldn't. It wasn't coming clear to me. Like, I could not just see the shape. I could not see the outline. Give me watercolors or give me graphite, and I'll draw you such a great flower. I did this amazing rose, but acrylic paints, I don't know what the hell. It was like my brain leaked out my ear. And there was just nothing there. I couldn't see it, you know? So I understood it in that moment. Like, I'll post it and we'll even see, like, do the abstract artists like this? I'm not sure if the other artists that follow me are gonna like it. So it was that aha moment, because I'm like, here it is playing out in real time, and I'm seeing these two people talking about it, and the reality of it is like, here it is in real time. But the great part of it is the awareness I'm able to have to it, right? And have that awareness with such depth that I could take this in and be like, this is so profound in this moment. Because sometimes we don't look at things. Excuse me, miss. Can we get our hiney out of the way? Because we don't, at least she's coming over going like, you did a great job, Mom. Don't worry about it. But we don't really realize it, right? But like this, and here I am preparing for this gathering tonight and what we were going to be talking about, and all of this really good information was coming through these other sources, showing up, showing what is happening in the reality that we're in, right? So this is very interesting times, and it's requiring us to be very authentic. And I mean, we've talked about authenticity for the last 5, 6 years. I don't know. I can't even remember, but I know that we've integrity, authenticity, and this is transparency, and so yeah, it's that type of feeling, right? That type of reality, that type of realization here, you know. Loretta sent me a text, said you were worried about the painting the flowers, and that is what gave you trouble. Yeah, because I was stressing about the flowers, and the painting just could not go. It couldn't go anywhere. I was stressing those stupid flowers, and
Stress before you even started it.
before I even started it, because
As
I
in,
was
does she realize what she's doing?
before I even started, I hadn't even started the painting, and I was sitting there stressing the
But I understand that because I've done it too. So yeah, something you just have to work through. Yeah.
And it was funny to see it playing out in the real time between this conversation, because this is the reality of where we are, right? Sitting, listen, I don't ha and the takeaway was, I don't have to be in my perfection. I don't. Neither do you. We just have to keep it real. We just have to be real. We have to be our authentic self, right? And it is the soul that requires it. The human is always unconscious. Unless the soul is in charge, then there's no unconscious human, because the soul is now descended into more of the body vehicle, right? So Aries is requiring us to listen to that inner voice and follow what that means for us, right? Moving away from what doesn't feel good, moving into what gives us the feeling of being of worthiness, of happiness, of joy, healing those parts of ourselves that we've been afraid to be or afraid to express, or that part of ourselves that we feel like we've been fighting for, right? Like a right that we've been fighting for, right? The right to be an author, the right to be an artist, the right to be expressive, the right to speak our piece, right? And maybe that's not on a public level, but maybe that's with somebody in your life that, or maybe this is something that you do on a regular basis, where you do this with everybody and you don't speak your piece, right? So that is also where we're being pushed. We're being pushed to look to see what is it that we need to start healing. What is it that still needs that part of us that we haven't given ourselves over fully to? And that's Aries. And it's going to demand it from us because it's very strong energy. And we're going to be in this Aries energy for 7 years playing with Neptune. I think Saturn is only two years because it's gonna hold our hand through the beginning stages, but we're gonna get to that in a second. But this Aries new moon that's tomorrow night is a turning point for all of us because this is where we are ending something that can no longer be sustainable. It just can't. It knows it's coming to an end, whether it's coming to an end right now or it's coming to an end a year from now or 2 years from now, but it knows that eventually it is not sustainable anymore. It's like the author was saying, she just wrote her next book, which is not out until June. And she said, but I don't know where I'm going after that because art is calling me so strongly. And at the same time, the artist said, well, in June, my work on the new revamp of the website is done. And I don't know where I'll be. I'd like to take a break from painting. And I thought, I think that's phenomenal. This is exactly what I'm teaching tonight. And here it is right in front of me, right? This juicy content for us to just take in and digest. So look at yourself and see. What is it in your reality, in your world, that is needing some kind of shift? What is not aligned with you? And it's okay to be honest, right? Because sometimes we're in the throes of doing something for somebody else, and then we feel obligated and we don't want to feel like we're failing them, or we don't, we're not. It's the game of perception because at the end of the day, I know we've all been programmed to believe that every single person that we're encountering, my cat included, is real. But she's laughing at me, a simulation in the reality, right? A simulation in the holographic reality because at the end of the day, the only other being, the only other entity that is really connected to me is God, source, creator. Okay. So it's really important for us to start looking at things and stop worrying about what other people are going to think of us. Stop worrying about if I stop doing this, is somebody going to get mad? Is somebody going to get upset? Is somebody going to, hate me? Is somebody going to this? Is somebody going to that? Let that all go. Okay. Got to let it go. And so this is where we are going to be receiving this energetic push as the reality shifts and demands us to grow up because we have two big, big planets in the sign of Aries that are setting the foundation, the expectation for us to choose ourselves, right? This is not my theory. This is what is. Saturn, and no, I didn't say my phone is acting up. I think it said a Siri. I didn't say that. So it is what is. Okay, it is what is. So, in this energy, we are being asked to be focused within because we have two planets that are interacting, one of them for the next 7 years. It's a 7-year cycle, pushing us to be liberated, pushing us to be free, to break free from those things that restrict us, whatever it is, no matter what it is. Most of it is in our head, right? From beliefs that we have, from teachings that we have as you know, children, from our peers, from teachers, from parents, belief systems that we hold, from things that we've read, you know, this is you know, a writing or a teaching from this sage or this spiritual guru or whatever, and we hold on to that instead of asking our soul, is this true for you? And then if it's not, or if it's not feeling aligned, we move on from it. But a lot of times what happens is we take it in as if, you know, this is like, we have to do this. This is our claim to fame, right? But it's not, it's not. It's not. We have to start tuning in and see, what is it that I need to do for me? What does that look like? What does that feel like? Okay. So just for dates, I want to give you the dates. Saturn, which is the taskmaster, it cracks the whip. It wants structure. It wants foundation. It wants us to get it right because it doesn't like to repeat itself, or it doesn't want you to repeat your experiences or your lessons. Saturn went into Aries on February 13th of this year and is going to be in Aries until April 2028. Okay. So about a 2-year period, Saturn. And Saturn is going to pull us back, rein us in, and make us feel less impulsive. So maybe you notice that you like to spend your money here, spend your money there, do this, do that, right? And then all of a sudden you're feeling like, oh, maybe I should put money in the bank. I have a little extra money, the money in the bank. And then you think about it for a second and you're like, oh, where is that coming from, right? Because I never think about putting money in the bank, but that's Saturn. Saturn is like, well, you know, we really don't need another art supply. Nope, you need to get painting. Or you need to get drawing or do some art, and then you won't be thinking about buying art supplies, right? That's Saturn. Saturn's like, you just don't need another one. You've got enough already, right? And then we have the other sign, Neptune, because there's two signs in Aries that are really bringing this big, powerful energy through. Neptune, and Neptune in Pisces, we talked about that in prior gatherings, was flowy and expansive, and the lines were blurred, and there was no structure, no, you know, I don't want to say restriction or limitation, but there weren't anything that was regulated, right? It was like, whatever you want to do, that's what goes, right? That's when Neptune was in Pisces, and Pisces is very dreamy energy. So it doesn't like boundaries. It doesn't know boundaries, right? It's like, oh yeah, everything is good, everybody's okay, you know. This is where that's going to start to feel a little bit different, because now the energies are going to be a little bit more structured. However, we're still going to have that Neptunian energy of rose-colored glasses and be flowy and all of that sort of stuff, which is going to give us the vision or help us dream about what we want to do, who we want to be, where we want to go. Okay, so that's Neptune. It's going to give us the feels. It's going to give us the visuals, the ideas, the blueprints, if you will. And then Saturn is going to be the taskmaster that says, okay, now that you have that information, let's build the blueprint and we'll figure out what we have to do first, because it likes structure. And so Neptune is going to give us this boundless, big feeling energy. We can be anything we want to be, go anywhere we want to go, right? That is going to be a 13-year period. It went in January of this year and is in the sign of Aries until March 2039. So we have 13 years of that big energy at play. So it's really important for us to have this understanding because we're so much smarter right now than we were 13 years ago when Neptune went into Pisces, right? And we just let it kind of carry us in there, and everything was kind of loosey-goosey and all over the place. But now it's in Aries, and it's important because this is like a reset. It's like a new beginning, right? Aries starts the astrological wheel. It's the first sign of the zodiac. And so it's like this brand new energy that we're all experiencing for the first time. This energy has never been felt before. It's going to be 5,000 years before we feel it again. And when Uranus goes into Gemini, it's going to kick off a new 84-year cycle. We're in big energies. There are shifts taking place we've never, ever experienced. None of us, because nobody in this community is 84 years old or older. Okay. I know sometimes we feel like we're 84 years old and older, but no. This is where the boundaries kind of get loosened up, and we can have this immersion into the all that is, right? Like we look at the vastness out there and we think about, oh, I would love to do this. I would love to do that, right? Like maybe travel. Oh, I would love to travel. And then suddenly in the mail, you're getting some random brochures for traveling, right? And then travel shows up, and the next thing you know, something happens and somebody calls you and says, "Hey, do you want to come on this trip with me? It's all expenses paid, but somebody else canceled at the last minute and can't go, but it's all paid. Do you want to go?" Right? That is the energy that we're playing in right now. So it's this big energy. And the only problem is that Neptune can be a detriment because it's that, when I think about the planet Neptune, I think about like the 1970s and that groovy kind of like, flowy, very colorful clothing, the bell-bottom jeans and all of that with the little spectacle glasses and stuff like that. But it can be in its detriment because it's looking through rose-colored glasses. So Saturn is going to be on our backs, making sure that we're doing the things that are going to move us forward in the right way so that we don't get tripped up by this very free-flowing, very underwater, very, undersea kind of feeling of Neptune, because it makes us want to just daydream and just be, like thinking about all this dreamy stuff, but it doesn't help us put the plan into motion. Does that make sense? So we need Saturn in order to do that. And in Aries, it's going to really be focused on you and what you need in order to move forward in your life. Okay. Aries energy wants to go. And because it's so fiery and it's so fast, Saturn is more than happy to take the reins and be like, "You need to slow down." Okay, so that's what we're playing in. Then we have at the end of this month, I think it's the 26th, Uranus going into the sign of Gemini. Now, this is the completion of an 84-year cycle, okay? And Uranus is the great awakener. It rules the sky energy. It's thinking, it's electric, and it really is going to like being in Gemini because Gemini is electric. It's the mind, okay? It's an air sign. It loves all of that is like higher level learning, conversations, and being in the sign of Gemini, when it does go into Gemini, wherever it is in your house that it hits, you're going to notice that conversations are very fluid, no matter who you're talking to, okay? Because conversations are going to become very important. So if you might notice that Other people might not be forthcoming with enough information for you. It's going to be your job to step up to the plate and be like, okay, I need more information. I need you to share with me exactly what that means, exactly what it is that you're saying. Okay. This is where communication is going to be extremely important. The idea of the planet Uranus being the great awakener is it wants progression. It wants inventiveness. Okay. It's forward moving. So think about all this forward moving energy that we just talked about. And think about the body, how the body is going to have to translate this. So this is where we really have to do a good job staying out of our head and not be overthinking about like, oh, I felt this. I better go to the doctor. I probably have cancer, right? Do not do that because this energy is very fast moving and you can manifest something that you don't want very quickly. Now, I'm not going to say you're going to manifest it overnight, but if you focus on something enough, it's going to happen, right? And the higher you go in your level, it's going to happen very quickly. It's like the white peacock showing up. Right. I literally saw the picture of it yesterday and to I mean, day before yesterday. And then yesterday it was in my yard. So this is the nature of the energy that we're playing in. Let's see what else I wrote down here that's important. Yeah, I think that's it. That was it. It's really can't even stress how important it is for you guys to stay in these higher timelines, right? A lot of my sessions have been around conversations about healing the past. If you're looking back at anything in the past, look back with love, love goggles, right? No looking back as if something ha that happened wronged you in some way, okay? I was using myself as an example the other day when I was talking to somebody because, they were saying something, I forget what the conversation was exactly, but, when I was in high school, I wasn't a good student in chemistry. Just wasn't my thing. I was an A student in math. I was an A student in English, and I was average in biology. Didn't get you anywhere though. You know what I'm saying? And when my art portfolio went missing, I remember the guidance counselor saying, "Well, I guess you're a good candidate for business class," and meaning, secretarial class. And that was the furthest thing I wanted to do, did not want to do secretarial. But I ended up going to college for medical laboratory technology. And when I first got into this work, that background in medical laboratory technology really helped me because I developed cancer and through my understanding of the body was able to work with my own healing. Okay. And because of the way that I live and I look at my body and I look at energy and everything else, I don't think about something that happens as being a detriment in any way, shape, or form where, other people will go like, oh, my shoulder's hurting. I wonder if I have a rotator cuff injury. I don't know. This feels really bad. I hope I don't have to have surgery. My thought is like, your shoulder hurts you, but you're already manifesting a rotator cuff surgery. Why would you do that? But there's something in our makeup that makes us go back, that makes us go into that mindset, right? And I could look back at my parents and specifically my mom, with her thoughts and ideas about how she saw herself and us in the neighborhood, fitting in or not fitting in with the other neighbors and whatnot. And, now when I look back at it, I see a lot of issues with lack and self-esteem and all of that other stuff, right? And it's very interesting to for me to look back at that in the nature of what it was. I mean, my mother ended up with leukemia in, I think, the early 90s and or mid 90s. And then, part of my journey with cancer was working to help her heal, which that was after I had already been through my own journey with cancer, but her leukemia had gotten worse. But again, it was, even though she left because she could not be here anymore. When a soul leaves, it's because they are not meant to be here anymore. And she left, and for a hot minute, I was in the wound, right? The wound of the heart. I was devastated and whatnot because I thought, like, now I have nobody. My father's not here anymore. I have nobody. My brother, but like we don't really have that kind of relationship, and then it was a very interesting time to look at that and be like, okay, all of your training, and this is me talking to myself, right? That beautiful mirror work that we talked about eons ago. See how it's all applying now, right? Where I would sit and talk to myself and be like, you've got this. Obviously, you got this. I'm telling all of you the same thing that I tell myself. You got this. You signed up for exactly what you're dealing with, for exactly what you're going through. Did your soul know it was going to be heavy for you to carry? No. Did the souls that interplayed with you in whatever way, shape, or form think that, whatever they did in your life was going to put a burden on you? No, I could go back to my high school days and be like, if my art portfolio hadn't been taken, I might have been an artist. But I have a friend who's an astrologer, and we were talking last week. She's got a new diamond child as a grandchild, a new diamond baby. If you've never encountered one, whoo, okay, they're a handful. They know who they are. You're not going to tell them who they are. They know who they are. But anyway, so we were sitting and talking, and we were sharing about these little nuances, and she was feeling joy for me that I'm doing this art program and whatnot, and how I got here. And she said to me, I must have been thinking about it for just a split second. And she said to me, she said, if you had made it into art school when you were younger, she's like, I don't think you'd be a successful artist right now. Your chart just does not lend to that. It just never did. It never would. Like now is the perfect time. Like now is ordained and divine for you to be doing that. Right? So, what happens in that moment? It's like, wow, what a blessing to have that awareness, that insight. Somebody else has that awareness, but it is a feeling and an inner knowing that I had that, I'm so committed to this right now. Like, I don't think I've painted this much in my life. My hips hurt me. My back hurts me. My knees hurt me. My feet hurt me. I said to Loretta, when does it stop? What do I have to do to make this stop? Right. And Loretta's like, keep painting. Because now I'm standing at an easel many hours a day, treating this as like, this is my business, right? But I don't think I would have been ready for that back then. Loretta and I have had this conversation too about, within her own life too, being an artist, many years ago, she graduated from school for art, but then she didn't become an artist out of school, you know, and she went into another line of work. We have to surrender. Surrender to where you are. Surrender to right where you are. Nobody told you when you took the certificate of occupancy for this body that this reality was going to be easy. I don't think anybody said that to any of us. Okay? And so, if you look at the fence on the other side and you think that life is more joyful or fulfilling or celebratory or enriched than what you have right now, I guarantee you are dead wrong. Because the guy that lives next to me in the motor coach with the property that he just cut down all of his gorgeous trees. He's a bazillionaire. He owned a huge marina down in, I think it might have been Fort Lauderdale, and he sold that. He was talking to Joe one day and they were talking money and everything else. He's loaded. He's super wealthy. I mean, the amount of money I'm sure he's paying to have those trees taken down is astronomical when I know what it costs to take a tree down because we had to do it here. I would not trade myself or my life for one day in his body. He doesn't value trees. He doesn't value his property. He doesn't appreciate any of it. I know because he's come over here and he's talked to me a couple of times and whatnot. You know, funny thing is, like, I got to share this with you because, so, oh yeah, thank you, Loretta. You are so right. So, because I think this is my personal feeling, like I said, he's come over and interacted a couple times. The squirrels annoy him because they eat his wife's plants. I've never seen them come and eat my plants. They eat the seed at the bird feeder. They eat the nuts that I throw out, and I put out plenty of bird seed and I put out plenty of peanuts now because I don't want them going to his house because he shoots them with his shotgun. Yeah, he shoots squirrels, right? So we're talking angry energy over there, and I wouldn't trade a second in his body, but you want to hear, this is so powerful. So he keeps sending me this information to go rally and petition this asphalt plant that's coming in because up the road, quite a ways up the road, is they're putting in another piece of the Suncoast Parkway. So it's just going to be like this major parkway that's going to take you all the way up to, I think, probably Tallahassee and then all the way down south to the Keys or something like that. Anyway. He keeps sending it to me. And every time I look at it, I think to myself, it's not going to go through. It's not going to pass. It's not going to go through. It's not going to pass. And so he sent me the first one and he's like, oh, you know, you should go. Joe should go. Da da da. Represent. Da, da. I'm like, okay. And I just say, look at it. And I'm like, what do I feel? Do I feel this is in my field? Nope. Don't feel it's in my field. Not going anywhere. So then he sent me the other day, he sent me another one. I don't know, it's like the third or fourth meeting or something like that. So he sent me the meeting and I looked at it and it was for I think today or tomorrow. I don't remember the exact date, but I looked at it and I was like, I can't see it. Listen to my words. I can't see it. I cannot see it. I can't see it in my reality, right? I'm not saying I don't want to see it. Because if I'm saying I don't want to see it, what am I creating? Resistance, right? So I'm creating resistance because I'm saying I don't want to see this. And the universe is like, we're going to give you so much more of that because you're really loving it, because you're focused on it. We're going to give you so much more of that, right? But I'm like, That's so interesting to me that I can't see it. Must not be in my field. I can't see it. Can't interact with it. Doesn't make sense to me. Not for me. It's not for me. It's not for me. Do you know? It must have been for tonight. Do you know last night, like literally 3 hours after he sent me the last notification, do you know he sent me another notification? It's been postponed until November. Why? Because I'm moving it further and further out of my reality, right? And the more I can't hold it in my reality because I'm not mad at it. I'm not mad at it. I'm not angry at it. It just doesn't serve a purpose for me, doesn't hold value to me. Why should I use my energy to get mad at it, to get angry at it, to create distortion, to create contrast, to create chaos? My energy is too valuable. I got to paint. I got to teach. I have to do client sessions. I can't be involved in that bullshit, right? Do you understand what I'm saying here? Choose wisely where you are giving your energy, because when you are giving your energy to resistance, it creates more resistance. When I was in my head about the darn flowers, I could not see the flowers. I couldn't. Now, they are by far from perfect. Not at all. Okay. But they're flowers. You can tell it's a flower, right? It's not my perfect flower. No, would not look like that. But what did I do to break down the fear, to break down the judgment? I posted it to my Instagram page. Because when I do that, I'm making peace with it. I'm offering it love, right? That's what I want you to do. Be conscious of where you are holding resistance. Do not feed more resistance into the field. Field does not need resistance. We are at the next level awakening. And those people that are ready for this awakening, they are going to get it. They're going to see it. They're going to come online. They're going to let it go. They're going to be like, I don't need that out there. I don't need that out there. I don't need to watch that. You know what? I don't need the TV anymore. And they're going to throw it in the garbage because really that's where it belongs. It belongs in the garbage, right? It's chaos. It's disaster. It's distraction. It's distraction. That's all it's meant for is distraction. Even when you're sitting down watching a TV show, it's distracting you away from communing and being with your oneness. Okay? We're such powerful, powerful creators. Like if somebody came to me and said, you know, I don't know what to do. I'm not making money. I can't get money or whatever. I would ask them, okay, tell me what you do with your day. How does your day look? What do you do all day with your day? And the minute they say to me, well, you know, and I come in, I watch TV, I'm like, turn the TV off, get rid of the damn TV, because you know what? You're manifesting what you're seeing on the TV. Because if you're watching TV at night before you go to bed, that TV, that energy is in your subconscious, unconscious. Guess what you're laying down with? You're going to bed with that TV program or that stupid show, right? Don't do it. Especially if you're listening to the news. No. That's set up intentionally. We don't do that. It's a distraction. Be with the oneness, right? You'll see your life change. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. There are so many people now that have finally gotten to that level where they're applying all of this work on a regular basis and they're seeing miracles showing up for them. Because it doesn't take much anymore. The energies are so fast. Now we have Aries energy. It's so fast. The manifestation is going to be just as fast. So we don't want to play in that distortion. Let that go. We don't need that. We want to play in the higher timeline, right? We want to play in the higher timeline. Take everything for what it is. I mean, today, I lost a nail. Lost a nail. I lost a nail, and then I was like, oh, fudge, I lost a nail. Now, let me tell you, since I've gone down here, the nail, garbage, just the same way haircuts are garbage, garbage, garbage. And I'm like, I will keep manifesting somebody. Somebody is eventually going to show up because I'm trusting. I know that there is that person out there for me that's going to cut my hair exactly as I like it. And until then, I'm going to keep going where the universe points me because it's about me letting go of the judgment of needing my hair perfect. That's the old me that needed to be perfect, right? Everything perfect. Old, outdated, let it go. So today, when the nail popped off, I thought to myself, you know what? I'm so sick of this because how many times, oh my gosh, how many salons have I been to trying to get them? They just don't do the nails the way I like them down here. But also, it was coming to my attention that it's just time for me, not you, for me to let that go. That's another thing that I just don't feel aligned with it anymore. I just don't. And I've been feeling that way for a long time, a long time. Thank you, Linda. But you know what you're admiring? You're admiring my gray. You're admiring my gray. I'm gray. Okay, this is all gray. If I pull the camera really, really close, you'd see it is silver, silver gray. Okay, so thank you for that because the back is the pepper and the front is the salt. So, but thank you. I really appreciate that. But all I'm trying to do is get a haircut, no color, because I haven't colored my hair in I don't know how many years now, but I don't color it anymore because my hair doesn't like it. And so I'm not going to do that. But anyway, so when my nail popped off today and it just kind of popped off, and they're not fake. I mean, like I get sit under the lamp, the whole nine yards, everything. I thought, wow, new energy tomorrow. And my nails just do not want to be covered anymore. They don't want to be covered. They don't, my nails don't like this. They don't want it. I'm going to honor that. So when there were two others that were loose, I was like, okay, I guess the nails are coming off and we're done with the whole nail shenanigans, right? Like, I'll go for a pedicure because the girls, the toes still have to look nice, but I'll just go for a regular manicure, regular pedicure. We're good to go, right? But it was interesting how this happened because the nail salon was like, oh no, this is a new gel thing. You don't have to come back for 3 weeks. I was like, 3 weeks? They don't want money. They want me to keep my money. They don't want me to come every 2 weeks. Like, what is this about? And then I just felt it like the universe was just pulling me away further and further and further away until the nail popped up. And I was like, I'm done. I'm done. We're in this new energy, right? This new energy demands something new. I'm choosing me. I don't want this anymore. And that was it. It was done. So I'm just saying, do the same thing. Feel the freedom in that, right? It's like being at the beach, stripping down to your nakedness and running into the water. Now, I'm not there yet. I wouldn't do that, but that's kind of what it felt when I liberated the other two nails today because everything was starting to get loose, you know what I'm saying? But does anybody have any questions? Anybody need any help with anything that they need to work through? Anybody need clarification on what I said? I love talking, but I don't want to be the only one talking here. Anybody? No? Everybody is good? All right. All right. If nobody has anything, then I guess we're going to call it. I'm sure I could go on for a couple of hours, giving you more and more information on all these little things, but you know what I'm popping in? I got to share this with you. So 2 weeks ago, three weeks ago almost, when I was at the nail salon, this woman sitting in the pedicure chair next to me and the two girls that are owners, they're, I forget what they said. I think they might be Vietnamese. I'm not really sure. And so they were talking between themselves and, one started talking about health and healing and wellness, and she's talking about a friend who has just diagnosed with breast cancer. And she's talking, she's looking at me and she's talking. And then she said something. And then right after she said the statement, she ended with a question. And I looked at her for a second and I was like, are you asking a question? And she was like, yeah, I don't understand. Just does not make sense. It doesn't make sense. And she has, I think it was breast cancer, something like that. So then I was like, well, to me, it kind of makes sense. And then I explained what we were talking, what her friend is going through, to which then she was like, oh my God, that's exactly, yeah, that's her life. That's the nature of her. That's this, that, and everything. So then the other girl that's sitting that's doing my pedicure, she goes, you should write a book. She's like, you are so smart. You have so much information. You're so knowledgeable. You should write a book. And then the woman that's sitting in the chair next to me says, she was like, yeah, you're spot on. I work with, what kind of dogs are they? They're the disability dogs. I can't think of the name for like trauma dogs for PTSD patients and stuff like that. And she was talking about some of her training, and then we started talking about, like my world of energy and PTSD and like all of that, because PTSD is where it's like the mind is on a loop cycle. It doesn't want to let go of the trauma because it's been, I hate the word bonded in, but like, it's running like a, on a loop on a tape, and it doesn't shut off because if something snapped, there was like a trigger response, something snapped, and like that PTSD is just runs that idea on a loop, right? And it's fear. And you have to remember, we're fear-based beings anyway, right? We incarnated with the idea of fear in the field, which is why we're here. We're here to play the game with the fear in the field. But I just thought it was so funny that they were like, you have so much information, you should write a book, right? And like, if I had a penny for all the times I was told I should write a book, but I think when you write a book, you have to feel. I Linda, you wrote a book, you have to feel the writing of that book in some way, shape, or form, that it makes sense for you to want to write a book. Right? There's got to be some kind of purpose to it in your life that you suddenly say, hey, I'm going to write a book. I just haven't felt it. When you wrote your book.
I wrote it was a screenplay.
Okay.
It was a really great experience because I wrote it mostly during COVID, and it was I just from the minute I got up to the minute I went to bed, I was writing, and it just I wouldn't even know I'd be in a scene, and all of a sudden it would end. I'd be like, oh, and that would be funny or it would be great, and then. But I realized after I worked on it for so long, I didn't want to go through getting it made because it just took me back to that timeline.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And it was painful.
Sometimes it's just for your own purpose,
It
your own
was.
healing.
It
Yeah.
was. I didn't. I wrote it. My attitude for writing it kind of was like, I'm going to get back at you kind of an attitude. It wasn't,
Right.
it was kind of a, see, you got it all wrong kind of thing. I'm going to prove you wrong. It wasn't, and so I maybe that was very healthy because it got it off me. I got beyond that.
It's like journaling. When I talk about journaling, it's very cathartic to write because the writing shifts us, right? Like
It
I
did.
told the story in the last gathering, I think, about one of my clients who's also part of the community who wrote 30 pages at one sitting, and like the next day her whole world shifted in a positive, higher aligned way. So that might have been the purpose of it for you, and it was never meant to be more than, a release of that discordant energy. Because believe me, when I tell you, I know because I created enough of it in my earlier years that, when you hold on to it, it makes illness happen in the body very quickly. And then because that manifestation of illness took root, it just keeps perpetuating until you really put the focus and intention toward something higher. So.
It was interesting too, because some of the things I wrote, I would reread it over and over, and I would draft, rewrite it, draft it, work on it and everything. And when I would read it, sometimes I'd look at it and I'd say, oh my gosh, like I'm understanding what I wrote now. Like I didn't, oh, it was like a message to me that I hadn't kind of understood. And by seeing it in the screenplay, I kind of got the message, and I could see my character in the screenplay from a different perspective. And it was really an incredible experience to say that. And I would dream the scenes too, or I would wake up and right away in the morning, and I'd know the answer. It
So
was it,
it sounds like there was a little bit of automatic writing
oh,
happening there.
almost definitely. Yeah, most definitely. But then I also learned the craft too, because I did take co a course in it, and then I did have a book, and I taught myself the craft and everything. So, but I don't, now I have no dis I have absolutely no desire to get it out there or do anything. It's a I still have it, and maybe one day my kids will read it or something. I think it's a brilliant, I think it's a beautiful play, a beautiful screenplay, but just wasn't it that's not was it wasn't the purpose to put it out there, I guess.
Sometimes it's not meant for that,
Yeah,
right?
I wasn't.
Sometimes it's not meant for that. Sometimes it's just, for what it is. It's like, I could sit down and think, like, how come I don't have, 500,000, a million followers with, all the time that I've been doing this and how much work and everything? It's just not meant for those people. It's meant for the people that are really here to get this work, to the ones that are really here that are committed to it, right? Sometimes it's not meant to be more. It's just not.
I also, Maria, I also struggled too with it a little bit in terms of, am I using that as an excuse not to put myself out there? I struggled with that a little bit too, or challenged. I didn't struggle with it, but I was really challenged. And I really, really thought about that. Am I not just, is it because I'm afraid to put myself out there and put that out there? And I did put myself out there. I was able to get in touch with one producer, and I did. But every time I rewrote that play or screenplay, I was right back in that low vibration that I was when my daughter was sick. And I just couldn't work on this the screenplay without getting back in that I didn't want to be there.
Well, you can, which is what I was saying earlier in our talk tonight. You can't be in that old timeline and be in an elevated state of consciousness.
Yes.
It's discordant energy. You just can't do it,
That's
right?
right.
And the minute we get triggered to something, again, like you, I could go back to, why didn't art happen when I was younger? I loved it so much, whatever. Just like with your stuff, to go back and look at that at all and visit it for whatever ha serves absolutely zero purpose because it has no value right now, right? So for you, where you were, that writing served to move that flow of energy. Maybe it was like a river that got blocked up by a dam of emotions. And the only way to unblock the river was to write, because writing is what moves energy the fastest. Writing is very healing. It's the most healing thing we can do.
No, it was good. It was a great experience. It just didn't turn out the way I thought, but nothing ever really does.
But
So.
let me ask you a question here, because that thinking of the way that it should be, right? There was this moment, because I remember back then, there was this feeling that was driving you incessantly to find a source, an outlet for your script. And look back at that honestly and ask yourself, how much of that was driven by the ego's need
Oh,
to
yes.
tell your version, and how much of that would have been the soul, or was the soul sitting behind the scenes going, I think it might be better if we just, forgive Ho'oponopono. And yeah, so, but no, all right, go ahead, do what you're going to do, and I'm just going to sit here and wait. Right? Like, I'm just going to sit and wait until you come back to me, right? Like, we're in that energy with Aries, right? I'm going to wait until you sit and come back. And then I'm going to force you inside, right? And the ego goes, but like, I want to have my say, or I want to tell
Yes.
it the way that it was supposed to be told, or
Yes.
I want you to know what you did, or
Yep. Oh, it was definitely that. It was very ego-driven. Very ego-driven.
And you can look back at that now and be like, what a funny time in my life that was, right?
Right.
There's, I mean, like, if we cannot look back at things from the past, because the truth of it is that every single thing that happened in our past, no matter what it was, right? The good, the bad, the ugly, all of that sort of stuff, is it was exactly perfect at that time in that moment, because even the ugly, even the unwanted, is soul contracts at play. And 99% of the time, when we have a ugly encounter with somebody, something that turns out and it like, shreds us inside, it's because it was very karmic in nature. It's like I said in the, I think I said it in the last recording, I had to go through those relationships, those marriages, I had to do that so that I would know what it was like to receive and then to lose, and then receive and then to lose, and then, and in the losing, it was the devastation of the nothingness, and I would have to rebuild all over again. Right? I could look at that as a detriment and be like, I'm not as lucky as this one. Don't get me wrong. Some people are born with great Pluto aspects in their chart, and it just makes them very fruitful. And they don't even have to work at a job, and money just finds them, right? It's just that's just the nature of what we incarnated to experience. But again, it's the nature of the experience, because just because that person, has that Pluto nature in their chart doesn't mean they're going to be good managing their money. So it could be that all of a sudden they come into like, a couple million dollar windfall, but then because of other aspects in their birth chart, they lose it. So the nature of their life is always going to be they have this magnanimous, encounter and have this bazillions of dollars, and then they lose it and they have to start over again. I mean, that to me, that's, exhausting. Who wants to do that? I'd rather just have a reasonable amount of money and continue on my journey and be on my life and enjoy the reasonable amount of money that I have, right? But sometimes we have to have those, encounters where, because you have been at that low level, you can sit back and appreciate where you are or what you have. So every single thing has great purpose for all of us. It's just, how are we choosing to see what it means for us, right? What it doesn't mean. If I talk about the guy next door who cut down all those trees, obviously those trees don't have meaning for him for whatever reason. I'd like to think he's doing it because he's going to knock the house down and he's going to build this beautiful house on that property, and they're going to move into the house and not live in the motor coach. But that's not my life. I really don't care enough to think about that. But it would be fascinating to see him do that. But do I care that enough that I'm going to think about it every day, or I'm going to lay in bed before I fall asleep at night and think about it? No, because I really don't care. It has nothing to do with me. If it has nothing to do with me directly, I don't entertain it. That's how I stay in the highest timeline, right? And even if something does have to do with me directly, I'm constantly self-checking, going like, am I in, running lack? Am I, oh, that felt uncomfortable. What is the surrounding emotion? Am I sitting here thinking like is this pinging my self-esteem? Is it pinging my value, my self-worth? What it, and I clear it immediately. I do not let anything fester in my field. I can't, right? I cannot afford to do that. Do not want to do that, right? So I'm very clear with the universe what it is that I want. What do I want? What's aligned? So when we start doing that and we let go of letting everything else in the reality drive our bus, drive our reality, when we stop doing that and putting our emotion to things that we're never going to touch, we're never going to encounter it. It's out there somewhere, but it's not here. When we stop doing that, crappy shit stops happening. Chaos stops happening. Disaster stops happening. But it's us. It's up to us. Right? We have to let all of that go, because otherwise we're manifesting the things that we don't want. Right? Like I explained earlier with that asphalt plant. Do I want it? No. I don't, but I'm not going to sit here and tell the universe every time I look at that flyer, I don't want that. I don't want that. I don't want that. I don't want that, because the universe is going to give me more of that energy. It doesn't hear that I don't want it. It thinks I do because I'm so focused on it. Well, here's more of that. You like that, obviously, because you're so focused on it. Have more. And I'm like, no. So right now, it's not my reality. I'm okay with it. Has no bearing on me. I'm okay with it. And then what does it do? It goes away on its own. I don't have to do anything. I don't have to think about it. I don't have to worry about it. Right? And the part of me that might have needed to go over to him and go like, see, you're worried for no reason. That's not even there anymore either, because it's irrelevant. I don't really care. You go live your life. I'm going to live my life. My life is going to be filled with Italian ices and white peacocks. Life doesn't get any better than that, right? What do you want to fill your life with? That's your homework. I want you to find your joy. What is it that you are wanting from your life? Because this energy is asking, what do you want? Aries is going to demand through Saturn and Neptune, it's going to demand you figure out what is it that you want, because the focus is going to be on us individually. I, me, mine. Okay? That's the nature of this. It's not about sacrificing the self anymore. It's not about being the good person or the do-gooder or this or that. We're not giving the store away anymore. We're not giving ourselves away anymore. No blaming anybody for the hardship in our life. Well, my parents weren't millionaires. They weren't great with money. They didn't teach me how to be great with money. You don't need an education in finances. You don't. You know what you need to be? You need to be a good manifester. You need to stop focusing on the things that are not bringing you manifestation. That's the secret to the secret. Stop focusing on all the stuff that says, I can't, I don't like that, I shouldn't do that, right? Don't look at that stuff. I don't like that. Well, stop looking at it. Stop doing it. Stop acknowledging it. So when I get hyper fixated on something for some stupid reason, and I'm like, hello, what is anybody up there? Like anybody? Anybody home right now? Right? And I can't get my mind to shift out of stinking thinking. I go, sit outside, look at the tree, and I go, oh, that's such a beautiful tree. Oh, look at that leaf. That leaf is so beautiful. And it's held on by that tiny little stem on that branch. And that branch is attached to that bigger branch. And that bigger branch is attached to another branch that's attached to the trunk. And that trunk is rooted really deep down into the ground, and it's got many, many roots, and it probably goes very deep, and it goes maybe spreads out for miles. And then by the time I finish talking about the tree, the trunk, the roots, the ground, the grass, the bugs in the ground, I forgot what I was upset over. Okay? So if you get fixated on something, get unfixated. Don't even need to do breath work. You don't need to do anything else. You just go outside for just a second, clear your head, change the program, get yourself off that loop, whatever it is, and go admire a tree or look at the birds or whatever it is, right? And redirect yourself. It's as easy as that. And then you're back on track. And then you're back in your flow again. And then your job is to not shut yourself down again, because that anger, frustration, resentment, chaos, that's all distraction. Takes us away from the soul, takes us further away from the soul. So this week, I want you to do homework, and I want you to dig in and see what is it that you really, really love. And do not pick anything that has any substance, right? No alcohol, no smoking, no nothing, no mushrooms, none of that, right? Come from the soul and see. What is it that you are not doing for yourself that you need to start doing because your soul is asking for it? Because once you start doing that, you're going to feel your kundalini moving in your body. Okay? That's where your power is. It's not in the outside. It's not. It's right here present. And I'm not saying you can't be around people that are, tuned into the outside and associated with the outside and want to talk about this and want to talk about that. I'm not saying to not be associated with people that want to do that. I'm saying don't take it in. Leave it at the doorstep, right? Discharge it. Pfft, gone. Go back to that tree. Go down into the roots, discharge it, get rid of it. Don't carry it around. Don't watch the TV before you go to bed. Read good books, fun books, something that makes you laugh. Don't read heavy duty stuff. It's too much for the body right now. Body can't handle it, not in these energies. We got to stay light and fluffy. Okay? Very important. Very important. All right, before we go, any other questions? No? All right. I am going to trust that this comes together for you. Makes sense. These energies are heavy. Stay focused. We just had another coronal hole open on the sun early this morning. It's a very intensive coronal hole. So, when you lay down at night, don't get in your head about the palpitations and there's a heart problem and there's a this and a that. You will create it. We don't want to do that. We're at the tail end of solar maximum. I said, I don't know how long ago, it is not going away until September, October. I know there's a lot of people out there that are saying, oh, solar maximum is done, blah, blah, blah. We're going to have a solar flash, the solar flare. Solar flash is internal. It's internal. It's individual. It's to each of us. Solar maximum is not done. Do not fall into that, right? If you feel your body doing crazy, weird things, breathe, talk yourself through it. If you feel it's an emergency, go to the emergency room, okay? But breathe through it and just be like, I got this. My body knows exactly what it's doing. It's upgrading at a molecular level, the DNA, the neutrons, the electrons, the protons, all of it upgrading. Okay. So stay out of the lower level distortion and remind yourself daily, all day long. Check your thoughts. Where am I? Right. What is my highest? What highest can I attain right now? And that's where you go. And if you have to listen to this recording 10 times, I used to do that when I was working with my mentors. I would listen to the same recording on repeat. When I didn't feel good and I was laying in bed because my body hurt me or my head was pounding, whatever, I would take that recording, I would put it on, and I would just let it play softly in the background and I would lay down. Why? Because you're getting the codes. Getting the codes, right? Everything is a code exchange. It still works that way. All right. So no stress, no stress. Just be on your A game, choosing you. Aries is demanding it. So we need to start paying attention to what it is that we're needing right now. All right. All right. So I'm asking one more time. Anybody, any questions? Otherwise, we are coming to a close. No? You guys are good? All right. I love you all. Have a fabulous weekend. And I have one more recording for you next couple of days. I will get that out to you as we see the lay of the land and the energies as this next big shift comes in. And remember, this energy that we're in right now is closing out a 40-year cycle. So if things start to leave your life, let it, let go, right? Whatever is needing to go, don't hang on to it. Just let it go. Because we're ending 40 years and we're going to be starting a new 84-year cycle come the end of this month with Uranus going into Gemini. Everything is new. All of this energy is new, never, never experienced before by any of us. Okay. It's not even written about. Every astrologer out there is flying by the seat of their pants right now. Okay. So keep up the good work you're doing because guess what? Those of us that are showing up in this community, we're the ones that are really holding and anchoring these timelines,
You want more pizza? You could heat it up. You want me?
creating the shift in the collective out there. Okay. So stay the course. That's why we're here. That's why we do this. All right. And I just want to tell everybody, I'm so proud of you guys, right? I know I haven't said this in a while, but I am so proud of you because you're still here doing this work. And coming back each time, doing the work, digging in. And I know it's not easy. I know, and the energies are getting higher and it feels more intensive. But I just want to tell you how much I appreciate you. I know the collective doesn't even know who you are or who know who we are, but we are the voice of the collective because we're the ones that are anchoring all of these codes, believe it or not. Okay, you're using your body. Every time these energies shift, you are using your body. You are using your consciousness. And that's why it feels so much more intense. And sometimes I can feel very intense when I'm doing a talk because the nature is so critical because these energies are so big. And we all want to be in flow in the best way possible that's going to carry us forward. And as you can see from the things that I am sharing with you about my own life, Joe's never bought me home an Italian ice before, just out of the blue and on his way home in passing, right? And the week before that, he bought me home a donut. And I was like, who are you? Right? Because he's never done that before. This is all new, but I have shifted up a level. And as a result, the people in my reality, they also have to shift with me. And then Liz, 2 days ago, sends me these beautiful pictures from Medjugorje in Italy. And one of the, there was like, I don't know, six or seven pictures. Thank you, Liz. There were six or seven pictures, and two of the pictures had a white peacock. And I thought, wow, that's a beautiful peacock. Can't imagine like when the tail is feathered out and how beautiful that must look and everything. And I guess, I must have been thinking about it, whatever. And then yesterday, a white peacock shows up in my backyard, right? This is how fast the energies are. I've lived here a year. I've never seen a peacock, a white peacock, anywhere around here. And then I send it to Joe, and Joe's like, catch it, we need that. And then because now he's engaged in the white peacock last night, he sends me a text and he goes, you're never going to believe this. He's like, I saw one on the way home. It was in the coming out of the woods where I was. He's never seen any either. He keeps hearing about them, like that they're in these certain areas and what, but he's never seen one either. And he was like, what are the chances? Like we're both seeing a white peacock, right? So that synchronicity locking in, right? That's what we all have. So when we're doing this and we're putting ourselves in and we're doing the work, and you're out there and you hate journaling and you're journaling 30 pages, guess what? You're locked in. You're locked in and you're supporting every single person in the collective. And then it's their choice whether or not they want to elevate themselves and take that next step up. Okay? So keep going, stay the course, stay in the work. Know that I deeply, deeply appreciate all of you and love you so much. I don't think you know that, but I do love you so much. Okay? Let's keep going because we still have more work to do. So I will have that recording for you next week. All right. Have a wonderful weekend, you guys. I love you. Take care.
Thank you for the
Bye.
amazing class.
You're welcome.
Amazing.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye.